Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is David Wirth. I was the director of photography on Bloodsport and the director of Kickboxer, launching the career of Jean-Claude Van Damme. You're listening to Justin Ray Harvey.
Hi, my name is Colleen Hendry, the senior product manager for Dragon at Nuance Communications, and you're listening to one of our favorite Dragon customers, Justin Ray Harvey. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Lola Reiser from the early show with Rick and Lola on 103 CIR, and you're listening to Justin Ray Harvey on J Ray Radio.
Hey, if you want to stay up on sports, if you want to stay up on what's going on, you got to listen to J Ray Radio. This is Black Hawk Walters, the four-time world kickboxing champion. Hey, this is Black Hawk Walters, the four-time world kickboxing champion. Listen, I want you to listen to my hero, Justin Ray Harvey.
Hey everybody, this is Chris Richardson of Six String Revolver, and you listen to my good friend, Justin Ray Harvey, on J Ray Radio.
This is Gordon Rikusa, author of Shidoshi, The Four Ways of the Corpse, and The Five Principles of Everything. Getting my facts straight from Justin Ray Harvey.
This is Stan Bush. I sing Fight to Survive in the movie Bloodsport. You're listening to Justin Ray Harvey.
Hi, this is Tony Luke Jr., a.k.a. Joey the Nail Nardone, and you're listening to Justin Ray Harvey.
Hey, everyone, it's Rick Reiser from Today's Hit Music 103 CIR in Beckley, West Virginia. You're listening to my boy Justin Ray Harvey on J. Ray Radio.
Hi, I'm Tony Luke Jr., also known as Joey the Nail. Please follow my friend Justin Ray Harvey on Facebook, Twitter, and Skype. His tag is at Justin Harvey. He's a great guy. I follow him, and I know you'll enjoy following him, too.
Hi, this is Peter Mahoney, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Nuance Communications. I'm also known as the Dragon Dictator. You're listening to Justin Ray Harvey.
To reach Justin Harvey's studio line, please call 818-532-9762.
Hi, this is Raven Kane, the co-founder of Pain, Progressive Action, Immediate Neutralization, and the singer-songwriter for the new record called Six String Revolver. You're listening to my good friend Justin Ray Harvey. He's a fellow martial artist and a good man. And if you even consider turning the show off, I'll come through this internet connection and choke your ass out.
Questions we have as we grow, it's hard to find answers to what we don't know, but sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life's lessons, help us to learn just what's important and what matters most, much more than our teacher, and we call them coach, right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand, to lead by example in words and deeds. lost of courage, but we need to succeed. And I stand before you, and I'm proud to boast. I'm one of the many who's learned from the coast. To never surrender your hopes or your dreams. And always remember you've got to believe. Though trouble and hard times may well take their toll, wisdom, courage, and kindness is how you measure a soul. The road that you travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. We raise our glasses and offer this toast to one who will always be known as the coach. To one who will always be known as the coach.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is my 28th birthday. It is the year 2013. It is September 11th, and it is 10:34, and I'm about to partake in a FaceTime video interview with one of my favorite actors and one of my friends, who I met online, Tony Luke Jr., and I am just dying to live discuss some things with Tony on my 28th birthday, and we are about to call him remotely live with FaceTime, and I hope you enjoy this video, and I hope that you find this video very intuitive about Tony Luke Jr. So without further ado, let's hit that call button, shall we? Here we go, folks.
Hey, Justin, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Tony. You're looking good. You're looking sharp. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, pal.
Awesome. So, what's up tonight?
Nothing. I got some work done earlier today. I have a couple meetings to go to. Getting ready for a new TV show we're kind of working on a little bit. And, got in a few minutes ago, and I'm glad you called. I couldn't wait to do the interview. But before we talk about that, I have to do something.
Oh, okay, Tony.
I have to go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my friend Justin. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, Tony. That means a lot. I'm speechless. I mean, for the first time on camera, I am speechless, ladies and gentlemen, and let me tell you, Tony, that doesn't happen with me a lot, so. And before I get to this interview, I wanted to share some personal thoughts with you that I've wanted to share with you for a long time, but unfortunately, with Twitter, you can't really do long sentences, so I thought I would share some thoughts with you. personally, if you don't mind, and I'll try to, you know, rush through it as quickly as possible.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, my family wanted to personally thank you from the bottom of their heart and soul that you have been a very good friend to me. We all love the movie The Nail, and my father says that if a movie is made about my life, he says that he hopes that you get to play the role of my father.
I would be honored. That would be great.
So my family loves you, Tony, and to share even more personal, sorry if I'm a little emotional. My brother passed away in January, very young age. He was very sick. And the year before he passed, Tony, I made sure and told him about the nail and had him sit down with me and watch the nail. So,
I'm so sorry to hear about your brother. When you told me that, it killed me to hear that. I'm so glad you both got a chance to watch that, and I'm sorry I didn't know your brother. I would have liked to have gotten to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know from talking to you how close you guys were.
Yeah, Tony, because, you know, like I told you, I'm one of your biggest fans, because anytime I ever got an email, tweet, text, I would automatically just tell my family and jump up and down and say, I got a message from Tony Luke Jr. You know?
I have to tell you, Justin, I so enjoyed getting to know you over all of this time. You're a great guy. It's an honor to call you my friend. I enjoy our talks. I enjoy our tweets. You know, I love corresponding with you. I think that you're a great guy. And I was so excited to do this interview. I was more excited to do the interview than I think you were to do the interview. So
wow.
I'm really psyched about this.
Well, see, I actually come up with this because, see, I'm actually one of my dreams, Tony, and I'm going to try my best to see that this happens. I want to actually meet you and give you a hug and say thank you.
Oh, I would love that.
So, and
We're gonna make that happen.
Well,
I promise you, somehow we're gonna make that happen.
I absolutely, because ladies and gentlemen, I have found out with Tony that if he says it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. So
that's right.
But where would you like to start this interview, Tony? I mean, we can start anywhere. We can start with the nail. I mean, I've got a lot I can cover. You know.
Yeah, well, no, you know what? I'll go with the flow. Wherever you want to start is fine with me.
Okay, well, let's do things a little bit differently. Something that I didn't get to cover when I interviewed you last year, because unfortunately with Blog Talk Radio, I only had 30 minutes, you know, to do my thing. So can you tell me about some of the charity work that you've done for, like, sick children or disabled children, or?
Well, I love kids. You know, I think because I'm just a big kid myself. You know, I learned a long time ago that if I had the power, and I mean this, I'd cure every kid that I could. But I unfortunately don't have that power. The only thing I can do is visit these kids and talk to these kids and listen to them and they have such great spirits. I mean, that's what I learned more than anything. You know, you visit these children, and they're battling every day. Every day of their life is a battle, yet they have the most amazing outlook on life. They're so genuine. They're so amazing. They make me laugh. They make me cry. They tell me jokes. It's an amazing experience to be around such positive energy, because that's what it is. There's no negative energy there. These kids are positive. You know, they're so full of love, and they just want to hang out. They want to talk. They want to joke. They want to kid around. And it's been more rewarding for me than anything in this world. And I try every chance I get to do as much as I can, you know, whenever I can.
Yeah. And I commend you on that, because there are a lot of actors out there that have made it big and they won't take the time to inspire the children, you know, and it's a sad thing, you know, and you're very special, Tony. So it's just,
well, thank you. I enjoy doing it. I think the kids are incredibly special. They're giving me the gift. They're amazing. Just them sharing their time with me. It truly is a very dear, special thing to me, and I cherish that. Those times are just amazing.
Absolutely, because ladies and gentlemen, I got to say, when I first tweeted Tony, he did not hesitate to reach back out to me and say, "Hey, I'll do your radio show," you know, and I'm like, "That is awesome." So you have a special heart, Tony, and I see that, and so do all your fans.
Oh, well, thank you, Justin. That means the world to me. I mean that.
Okay, now, do you want to discuss your? I know you love acting, you love your sandwiches, but I know, as your biggest fan as I am, I know that your biggest passion is your music.
That is my biggest passion. Yes,
so,
I love singing. Mm-hmm. I love writing. It's just a whole creative process, and I think with food and music and movies, it's all kind of the same creative vibe. You know, when you make food, you're very creative with different foods, and it gives you a chance to express who you are through cooking. Same way through acting, same way through music. But you're right, if there was any profession that I could choose to do full time, it would absolutely be music, without a doubt.
Wow, and you actually sing the song Coach in the film The Nail, and that is one of my absolutely favorite songs that I play at least once a day, Tony.
So that's a great track. It was written by a dear friend of mine, Skip Denenberg, and it's such an inspiring song. You know, it just fills you with inspiration. And we all feel down. We all go through periods of self-pity and self-doubt. I mean, you wouldn't be human if you didn't, you know? But it's the ability to pull yourself out of that. It's your ability to say, nah, you know what? I'm not going to let this get me. Tomorrow's another day, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to get things done, and I'm not going to let anything beat me. And the song kind of embodied that. It was so great being able to sing that track. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, I love the song. I can actually sit here and play it on my stereo and sing it now. And I sing it every day. Even if I'm in a bad mood, it picks me up, you know. I mean, it does. I mean, because me, myself, living with a disability, you have to be very strong. But even sometimes it does get to me. So.
Sure. So. Well, you're human, Justin. You wouldn't be human if it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like I said, that's what separates people who give up and people who refuse to give up, is that ability to pick yourself up and go, no, this is not beating me. Absolutely not. And you just push through, because your mental state is so important. In just even your overall battle of anything, whether it's a physical disability, a mental disability, or just everyday pressures and problems that everyone goes through in life. You need to have that positive outlook.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And before I jump into the history of the nail and everything, for the past few months, I've been contemplating something. Because I know that you're a great actor, and you've worked with different actors and different people in the business, and I do know that you have a little bit of a martial arts background, which we'll get to that here in just a second. But I had an idea that I wanted to share with you, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Have you ever seen the movie Bloodsport?
Oh, who hasn't seen the movie Bloodsport? One of my favorite all-time movies.
Okay, well, my martial arts instructor is the real Frank Dukes.
Wow.
And I pushed and pushed to meet him, and I found an organization that helped make that happen, and he's become my martial arts instructor. And I've known of Frank since I was 3 years old, but here's my idea, Tony. I would like to somehow connect you to, because I would love for you two to possibly work together, or even just to meet, because I know you have a martial arts background, and you have a great passion that you and Frank both share.
I would love that. Yeah, I would love to meet Frank. But I have to meet you first, Justin. We have to work on meeting you first.
I just thought, you know, you have done so much for me, Tony. I just wanted to do something nice back, because you have made me personal recordings, text tones, email tones, which I use every day, by the way. So I just wanted to give back, and I was like thinking, how great would it be, the legendary Frank Dukes and Tony Luke Jr., two of my best friends and idols, working together.
I would love that. I would love to meet Frank.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, let's jump into the history of the nail. How did that? I know we've discussed this before, but this is for people that, you know, don't go to my channel, of course. How did that come about, and, you know, what inspired you to do it, and all that?
Well, the nail is loosely based on my father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my father was not the father character. He was the little boy. My grandfather had a drinking problem and tended to be very abusive. Just, he was a very rough guy. He's from the other side, from Italy, and, you know, he just had a heavy hand. And my dad would tell us stories growing up about how, you know, what he had to go through growing up with his father and what his mom had to go through. And then it was a combination of that and a combination of guys that I personally grew up with in South Philly over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about this movie, and you will definitely get a kick out of this, I wrote the story,
mm-hmm.
like all of the scenes. I didn't write it down on paper. In my head, from the beginning scene to the very last scene, I wrote that entire movie in my head, story by storyline, scene by scene, in one day. That entire film came to me literally in one day. It took 7 months to do the screenplay, but in one day, I knew from scene one to the very last scene of that film. Just hit me. Just, I couldn't believe it. And I can't believe it, because that's kind of how I write, too. If I'm writing a song, I can't play and then write a song. It's like when I write, it hits me at one time. Like I'll write the entire song, at least the first verse and the chorus, in one shot, straight through. And then I'll work on it from there. But I normally just get hit with a vision or some kind of vibe where I hear it. You know, I hear it or I see it. And then it comes very quickly. Or it don't come at all. So there's no middle of the road. It's either yes, I have this, or no, I don't. But that's kind of what happened with the nail. And because it's a film about domestic violence and child abuse,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to make a film that judged. If I want to clear that up.
Okay.
I didn't want to judge anyone. If you watch the film, if you notice, the father really loves the kid. He just has a very twisted way of showing it.
And I didn't want to paint him as a monster.
I wanted to paint him as a man who truly believes that he's doing the right thing, but he never realizes how much he's hurting this kid, how much he's hurting his wife. So I wanted to do a film
mm-hmm.
that wasn't so much judging, but to have people watch it And maybe have a father who may be doing that, or even a mother who may be doing that to her child, to watch that and go, wow, is that me? Is that what I'm doing? You know what I mean? And that's what I tried so much to do with that film. That film was a labor of love for everyone involved, from Leo Rossi to William Forsythe to Jamie Quattrocci, who directed that, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, who's in it, Tony Danza, who's in it. You know, everyone came on board, Dinar Torres, and you can't forget Pablo Orantia, who plays the little boy, who I thought was brilliant, brilliant in the movie. So was Dinar. Dinar, as his mom, was incredible. But it was a labor of love for everyone. We didn't really make any money from that film. We didn't. I mean, everybody worked for almost nothing. But that film had such an impact. It's in every language, in every country. It's such a cult film. It's so great to be in a different city. I was in Miami a few months ago, and I'm checking into the hotel, and I'm passing a bunch of people. And they stopped and they looked at me, and I went, can I help you? And they went, Joey Nardone. You're Joey Nardone. I'm like, oh, you're the Nail. They're like, we love that movie. So it has a very strong cult following. Either that's the kind of movie, either you love it or you hate. There's no middle of the road. I've met people that said they hated it, and I've met people that said they thought it was the best film they'd ever seen. So I think if you relate to it, it really hits you heavy. If you can't really relate to it, I guess you don't really get it. So, but, you know, either way, good or bad, it got a lot of people's attention.
Oh, absolutely. Do you know if there's any plans of the Nail coming to, like any other formats, like Blu-ray?
I know it's available on iTunes. It's available on Amazon.com. I think the DVDs are out of print. They sold out. Whatever the run was completely sold out, because the movie, thank God, was a hit. I mean, it made its money back. It made money. We sold all the DVDs that were printed up. I don't think so. Now, they are talking, and I don't know how true it is, but they are talking about maybe cleaning it up, all the curses and everything, cleaning it up and doing a run on regular television. So, we'll see. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, because on regular television, they can bleep stuff out or, even cut it out altogether.
Yeah, they have to go back and re-edit. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it, but they were talking about it, so I'll keep my fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
But I think you had it that way to show the impact of what was really going on, because, that father was very, very, very violent,
Well, there's a scene. The scene I always get hit with is the scene with him beating the child. And people say to me, well, that's way too graphic. It's way too violent. And it is. But what I was trying to show the audience is what it would have looked like and how that beating would have appeared to that small child. So I made it much bigger so that the audience could feel that pain, that fear, that anger that this poor kid was feeling. And it worked, because people watch that scene and they turn away. They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. And they felt it. And that was the whole goal, to make them feel.
Yeah, Tony, what I found interesting was I listened to a previous interview you did with a lady that's a good friend of yours. I can't remember her name. She's from New York, and y'all were talking about something interesting that I wanted to touch on real quick, too. You said one of the hardest parts of making the film, ladies and gentlemen, was to make Jesus' mother look terrible.
She's such a beautiful woman. We tried to downplay her. We tried to make her look very plain, but she's so beautiful, it was almost impossible.
Wow, that's amazing, Tony. I'm glad you were able to somehow overcome that challenge. And was it difficult to cast the character of Jesus? Or, because I'm sure you've had a lot of auditions and people come in and wanting the parts.
We did. We casted in every city. It was actually a big casting call. And Pablo came out of Texas, out of El Paso.
And he walked in and put himself on tape.
And I swear to you, I remember I watched all these other kids, and all these other kids were good. They were great. And then Pablo came on, and I remember looking at Jamie, the director, and Leo, who produced the film with me also. And I remember all of us looking at each other, and we went, that's him. That's Jesus. And we never looked back after that. We knew it was him. He just blew us away on the screen test. He just killed it.
Wow. Okay, now here's the biggest question concerning the nail, and we'll move on, Tony, because I know that you're probably tired and you've had a big day and everything, but the ending part, how long did it take you to decide whether your character lived or died, and what were y'all deciding to do if you wasn't going to do that, and how did you determine that he should die? Take me through that scene, that whole process that y'all went through for that one scene I absolutely hate, let's put it that way. Because I was pissed.
To me, my character, Joey, had to die.
I knew that from the time I wrote it.
Because it wasn't real life to me. It was like he comes out of prison, he meets this beautiful woman, he falls in love with her, he saves the boy's life, everybody lives happily ever after. Well, in the real world, it doesn't always work like that. In the real world, there's always consequences to what you do. And when he beat up the father without killing the father, and he didn't kill the father, by beating him up, you knew that the father somehow was going to retaliate. He was never going to let Joey come in and steal his family from him. Because that's how he looked at it. He looked at it like Joey was stealing his family, when in reality, Joey was saving his family. But there was some talk when we were filming to shoot it two ways. To shoot it with me dying, and then with me not dying, to do some sort of a sequel. But I remember we sat down and we all looked at each other like, nah. Joey has to die, and we struggled with how he was going to die. But from the beginning, when I wrote it, I wanted to use the nail as a symbolic symbol, by pulling it out of the wall and using it, because the nail eventually saves the little boy. It doesn't save Joey, because Joey's dying.
It saves the little boy by eliminating the dad, who would have eventually hurt the little boy or the mom.
But I knew he would be stabbed. I never wanted him shot because I didn't think in real life that he would have shot him. He would have probably stabbed him. In the neighborhood I grew up, there was a lot of knives, not too many guns. And it's quiet. It wouldn't have made a big bang. And I also believe that the father was so embarrassed by losing to Joey, by getting beat up to Joey, that he wouldn't have gotten any satisfaction by shooting him. I believe he wanted to hurt him. He wanted to stab him, he wanted to hurt him, he wanted to do it with his hands. And that's how we shot it. And it's funny, we shot it a couple times, and Pablo was great in every shot, Jesus. He did a great job. He really stuck out for me in this film. He did an amazing job. And I was so honored to work with him. He's a great kid and a great actor. And I just saw him a little while ago on Facebook. We try to keep in touch on Facebook. And he's a grown man now. I mean, it's been a long time since the nail was out. He's in college now, you know?
So that's unbelievable, he's grown up so much. Wow, that is unbelievable. But one part that I actually took realistically to heart, Tony, was the part where you said, you tell the people you love no matter what. I know it's just a film, I know it's just a movie, but I took that one little part that you said, I took that straight to my heart, and I always say that to people nowadays.
Well, I believe that with all my heart. I preach that anywhere I go. I tell people that you never, because you never know with life. I mean, you go to bed, that doesn't mean you're going to wake up. And look, here's the truth. We all say mean things to people that we love in anger. We don't mean it. We're hurt. We're trying to hurt them back by saying something nasty. But the truth is, you don't know if you go to bed angry or you don't pick up that phone when you should and tell that person that you love, hey, look, I'm sorry. In fact, I'll give you a great example. I just had, last week, I had an argument with my brother. Me and him had a big argument, and we're yelling at each other back and forth. And I said, you know what, I'm leaving. We were at one of my restaurants. I'm like, I'm leaving. And I left, and he was angry, and I was angry. And I was driving around a little bit, and about a half hour went by, and I picked up the phone, and I called him, and I said, hey, look, I love you. I didn't mean what I said. I'm sorry. And he was like, no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have fought with you. I love you, too. And that was it, because I'm such a big believer in you never know what's going to happen. What if my brother, God forbid, a million times, knock on wood, got in a car, got into an accident, and I never seen him again? And I never got to say to him, hey, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. So I'm, even though, I'm quick to, I have a bit of a temper on me, but I'm always just as quick to tell someone I'm sorry. Or tell someone, hey, I was wrong, or I was out of line, or whatever. I'm never ashamed to admit when I'm wrong.
Then I think that's a great way to live.
I think that tell the people that you love every day that you love them is great advice for anyone. You can't go wrong. You can never tell someone you love that you love them too much. You should say it every day.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I took that part really to heart, Tony, when you said that. I mean, that just hit me like a ton of bricks, and that just always stuck with me. Now, I want to move on about your food business. How did all that start? And how many stores do you have? And I know that I am desperately trying to push for West Virginia to have a Tony Luke's store. So
we have, let's see, currently right now we have 19 stores operating, and we have another 15 stores opening in the next 12 months.
Wow, that is just amazing, and I've seen you cook your steaks, and I'm like, I want some of that. And actually, you know your video on YouTube, I forget what it was titled, but it was the cheese steak.
Which one? The throwdown?
The one where you hypnotize. You're getting hungry.
Yeah.
I was trying to get that out, but I couldn't get that word out for some reason. But yeah, that actually made me want one of your steaks. So that actually did work.
Well, we have stores opening now in Miami, New York.
We're looking at Connecticut now.
And then we're going to work our way through the Midwest. Now, I can give you a little exclusive.
Okay.
That no one knows yet.
Because
I'm not going to announce it. Until either tomorrow or Friday. But I just got my own TV series on a network. I can't tell you which network yet. But I'm traveling all over. I'm going to be in the Midwest. I'm going to be on the East Coast. Now, if I'm anywhere near West Virginia when we're filming, I will let you know. And I will absolutely stop by.
Yeah, because the closest areas that I'm in is like, Huntington is still a drive, but I can get to Huntington, and then there's Charleston, West Virginia. I don't know if you've ever been to West Virginia before, Tony, but you would absolutely love it.
I did a movie in, where was I? Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah, that's still a drive, but I would drive it if you were there. I would absolutely drive that far to see Tony Luke Jr.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I did a movie in Roanoke. I really enjoyed it. I love Virginia. But I have not been to West Virginia. No, I look forward to going there. I've not been there, and I love going to places where I've never been. I love meeting new people. Mm-hmm. I love seeing new places and getting to know the people that live there and trying new restaurants. And I love that stuff.
Actually, I have a good idea, Tony. Like, if we could expand, if we meet and spend some time together and you get to know me with my life and struggles, I would actually love sit down with you and see if you could maybe write a short film about my life, and we could, you know, we could work on that together.
I would love to talk about that, sure.
So I mean, because I've been through a lot of dark times, and I would be completely open with everything, not just the good stuff that's happened in my life, but also the bad stuff, and I think that it could be turned into a wonderful film.
Well, the few times I've really talked to you and heard you talk about your life, I agree, I think that's something... See, I look at those things as even though there's struggle there, even though there's pain there, people can learn from that. Your stories can inspire people. Because like I said, in the end, we lose the game when we give up. As long as you never give up, you will never lose.
Absolutely, because I didn't care how long it took to find you. I was going to find you and at least let you know that I did exist.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I told you, I really cherish our friendship.
I do too, Tony, and, you know... With Twitter, the only thing is you can only do short, you know, short updates, and you know, so, which do you prefer? I know you're on both, but let's be realistic. Which do you prefer, Twitter or Facebook?
Well, I like Twitter. I like Facebook. Twitter comes up immediately with me, so wherever I am, if something is tweeted, I get it. Facebook, I have to log in to see it. But you've got my personal number. So you can text me anytime you want.
Yeah, I just don't call you all the time, Tony, because I know that you get super, super busy, but tonight I did make an exception to that rule and said I'm giving him a call and seeing what's up. Well, maybe you did.
I was excited. I was so excited to actually do your show on your birthday. I think that's an amazing thing. I will not forget it. I love doing the Skype thing. Like, I like it. Unfortunately for me, you're right. I don't really get much time. I'm running all the time. It's tough to pin me down. Even today would have been a little rough. I think that everything worked out like it should have. Doing it tonight, I got a chance because, you know, I'm going to retire soon and just go to bed because I was up so early. But this was nice. It was like, it was towards the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's quiet. We can talk. I have time. This was perfect.
And Tony, I got to share with my YouTube audience something very, very special. I was jumping for joy when I saw this video, and you know what I'm talking about. You're going to be getting married. You're engaged.
I am engaged. Yes, I am. So we will be getting married. I don't know quite when, but I am engaged. And it's pretty amazing for me. It was a big step for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was married once before. And that lasted a very long time. My first marriage lasted 32 years.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to the second time around. So, you know, she's a great lady, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Well, if you say she's great, then she's great. And I got to say, you have great taste because she is just beautiful, Tony. So.
Oh, well, thank you. She's a beautiful woman. God bless her.
So
I'm looking, I see your t-shirt.
Yeah. I know pretty much everything about Frank, and I am known around the world of having the most collectible Frank Duke stuff. You know, I need some Tony Luke's t-shirts.
We got to take care of this. What you got to do is, after the show's over, you've got to text me your address, and I got to start sending you a bunch of Tony Luke stuff.
Because I will definitely do some advertising. I mean, because when I do advertising in social media, Tony, I don't know if you ever read my post a whole lot, but when I go at it, I go at it.
I know.
I could definitely help you out. So.
Well, we got to get you. Like I said, when this interview's done, text me on my regular phone, and I want to get you some Tony Luke stuff out.
That would be great, because I was like, that would be great for my collection, you know. I got to have some Tony Luke stuff. So, and I just thought, you know, Frank Dukes and Tony Luke Jr., that's like Muhammad Ali and Bruce Lee working together.
You're too kind.
You always say that, especially when I said that I like your movie better than the Rocky films.
But again, you're too kind.
So, I mean, is there anything that you want to promote? I know that you're pretty tired, Tony, so we can wrap this up whenever you feel like it. You know, I got a new TV series coming up.
I can't let you know yet exactly what it is, but in a couple days, you will be the first one. I will text to let you know what network it's on. And I'll give you as much information as I can. I'm working on a new film, a film called Queens for a Day, which is comedy. We're getting ready to do that. We're in the process of raising the money. Hopefully we'll start shooting that in the next three or four months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? I got a new product for our frozen food line. Pretty soon, all over the country, we'll be able to get our steak that we use in our stores. You can fry at home. We're going to be in a lot of the supermarkets. We're in over 1,000 supermarkets now, and we're pushing for more. So there's a lot going on. I got a lot of traveling to do. I've been doing more traveling now than I have in a long time. In fact, I start shooting the new TV series in November, and I'm away shooting November, December, January, and February. I won't be back until March.
That is going to be hectic. Okay, for my viewers, take us through a typical day of Tony Luke Jr., because I've always wondered, what is a typical day for Tony Luke Jr.?
You know, a typical day, it kind of varies, to be honest. If I don't have anything to do, like if I'm not shooting a show, or... My normal day is, I usually get up very early, because I go to bed very early. Usually up by like 6 o'clock, take a shower, go to the gym. I'm usually in the gym for about 90 minutes, then I go have breakfast, usually anywhere between 20 and 30 egg whites I will eat after the gym. Then I head over to the office, find out what's going on for the day, take a ride to some of the stores that are closed. Make sure everything's okay with them, then back to the office, working on his new deals and trying to get the product in more stores. I probably leave the office around 6:30 at night. And then head home, and usually I do what I love to do, which is once I get home, I love to just chill out, watch TV, and I'm good to go. And then I'm usually, I have a very boring life when I have nothing to do, and then I'm usually in bed by 11:30.
Wow.
And it's 6 o'clock. But now when I'm working, I'm going nonstop. When I'm working, I'm up at six in the morning. I won't go to bed till two in the morning. So when I'm doing a show or doing any kind of TV work or getting any store together, then it's hectic. It's like nonstop all day. So when I don't have to do any of that, I really look forward to just coming home, laying on the couch, watching TV, and most of the times I fall asleep on the couch. And then when I get up, I just throw myself in bed. But I enjoy it. I mean, I like the downtime because it's always go, go, go. I like that downtime.
It's always good to have downtime. And since you shared your egg whites, and keep in mind, I didn't laugh. I am 120. I weigh 120 pounds. Okay, when it comes to tacos, you know Taco Bell, right?
Oh yeah.
You know the 12 pack tacos that you can get?
Yeah.
I can eat 12 tacos in one sitting.
No way.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
At 120 pounds?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yes. So tacos is one of my favorite foods.
If I had to pick an all-time favorite food, it would have to be pizza.
I remember you saying that. And it's possible, folks, that Tony Luke Jr. could be a Ninja Turtle, because what do Ninja Turtles love?
Pizza.
So, yeah, I grew up with the Ninja Turtles, Tony, so, yeah.
But how old are you now, Justin?
I am 28. God bless you, 28. And what's great, Tony, is doctors told my mother that when I would be born, I wasn't going to live. And if I did live, that I was going to be a vegetable. They told her to put me in, like, one of those rehab places and just leave me be. And she said, no way, man. I'm taking my baby home. She says, if he ends up being a vegetable, he's still gonna be mine. And I've beaten the odds.
God bless you, Mom. Shelly, you got a strong family, Justin. You ain't going nowhere for a long time, buddy. Not for a long time.
Absolutely, and I got to say, Tony, I love you to death, and I honestly was very scared for you because, I wanted to tell the listeners, or viewers, I should say, when Tony did the nail, you were so overweight. I was so worried about you, Tony.
Yeah, I had lost quite a bit of weight before I did the nail. I was tipping the scale at 400 pounds.
Wow.
And then when I did the nail, I was 70 pounds heavier than I am now. So when I did the nail, I was probably 300 pounds. I had lost 100 already. Now I'm 235.
Wow.
So it was a lot of weight loss, a lot of changing my life, you know, I ate a lot of times when I was depressed. I ate a lot when I wasn't feeling good. I never ate when I was hungry. Mm-hmm. I was more of an emotional eater, and that's the worst kind to be. But you learn to change your lifestyle. You learn to make exercise a part of your life. You learn to, you know, I love pizza, so I eat one or two slices. I don't eat a whole pie. Normally, I would literally eat. I could easily, but you don't.
I think, you know what I think, Tony? I think me and you should have a taco eating contest.
No, you'll beat me. That's not fair. You'll kill me.
Just so that I could prove that it actually did happen, you know.
Oh no, believe me, I know if you say you can eat 12 tacos, you can eat 12 tacos.
And then I was like, is that all? Really? And I saw you on Man vs. Food, and I was very impressed.
Yeah, I couldn't finish it. It was a lot of food. Man, I was... I was big, man. I was almost 400 pounds. I did Man vs. Food. It was a lot. But, you know, thank God it took me, it's almost 2 years now to get all the weight off. You know, and I tell people, if you have a weight problem, and you're 100 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight or 200 pounds overweight, never look at that as the weight you have to lose. Because if you do, you'll get discouraged and you'll quit. You have to look at every week and go, you know what? I'm going to lose a few pounds, 2-3 pounds. Next week, I'm going to lose another 2-3 pounds. Give yourself realistic goals. And believe me, before you know it, you'll lose 30 pounds. 40 pounds, 50 pounds. Because, you know, you're not saying, I got to lose 50. Oh, my God, it's so much weight. Just lose two pounds, three pounds. That I know you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you'll be there. You'll be your goal weight.
That's like with me, Tony. Like, I see people that have the same disability as me, and they'll use it as a crutch. Oh, I have cerebral palsy. I can't do that because of this limitation, when I'm living proof that it may take a while to get to a certain goal, but you can accomplish it. Because I don't know if I've shared this with you, Tony, but I'm also a pro wrestling champion.
Wow.
So I'll have to send you the video. It's my last match that was held was a 30-minute match, and it was a draw, but since I won the previous year, I didn't lose my title. And back when I did my last match, I found out that I have a hernia, like right in the middle of my belly button, but I still, even though I was hurting, I still competed. And the guy had CP, but he was also bigger than me. So
okay.
I will definitely have to send you that video.
I would love to see that. I have to tell you, Justin, and I mean this, I really do. You're one of the most courageous guys I've ever met. You're one of the strongest people I've ever met. And I not only love you for that, but I respect you for that too. And you're an inspiration to anyone that meets you. Never forget that. You really are an amazingly inspirational person. And man, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep pushing. Just like I'm always going to keep pushing. Because guys like you, we don't stop. We don't know the meaning of no. Or I can't.
Yeah.
We just do.
Exactly. And I'm not just saying this. I just want to put this on record. I'm not just saying this, Tony, but my main goal for 2013, and I'm going to keep pushing and pushing, and that is to meet you face-to-face and give you a hug and say thank you.
I am going to make that happen.
So, yeah, I'm going to keep pushing.
That's my promise to you. And I never break a promise. And I never break my word. You have my word. I'm going to make this happen.
You know what would be awesome? Is if we could sit down and watch The Nail together.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
I would love that.
So.
We're going to make that happen, my brother.
Oh, we're going to party like it's 1999.
Well, here's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing doing the show. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this. As soon as this is done, I need you to text me your address.
Okay.
Give me your whole address, and then I'm going to get some stuff shipped over to you. And I'm going to put that address in my phone book. Because I'm going to make it my goal to knock on your door.
Are you serious, Tony?
I'm making it my goal. I'm going to make this happen. I don't know if it's going to be a month from now or two months from now or three months, but I am going to make it a goal to make that happen.
Wow, Tony, that would be so awesome. I don't even know how to respond to that, my friend.
No, I'm going to make it happen. You know how you're going to respond? You're going to go, hey, Tony, nice to meet you. That's how you're going to respond when I knock on that door.
Wow. I would even let you wear my Frank Duke's shades. He gave me Yes, he gave me a pair of his famous sunglasses. I will let you wear those shades, and we can take a picture. So.
Done deal.
Wow.
We'll make that happen.
Wow. That. Oh my God, I'm in shock right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to make that happen.
Wow. That's just amazing, Tony. Like I said, I'm speechless. I wasn't expecting this, Tony. I really wasn't expecting that. Wow. I feel like a little kid and I just want to jump up and down.
Nah.
You know? But wow. Yeah.
I'm going to make it happen.
I will definitely send you my address and
anything you need. Yes, please. And please. Give your family my best.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them I said hi. And that I can't wait to meet them too.
My dad would love that. And my dad has a hard time talking sometimes because he suffered two strokes. Every time I mention Tony Luke Jr., it may take him a minute there, but I'll mention the nail, and then he realizes who you are. So, because sometimes it takes him a minute.
I can't wait to meet him.
Awesome, Tony. And do you have any final thoughts before I let you go? Because I don't want to keep you up, my friend. But I've really enjoyed this time just sitting here and talking to you. And this is going to be awesome.
Any final thoughts I have is just anyone who's watching this, and watch you. Just never give up, man. Whether it's a dream, whether it's overcoming a disability, whether it's a job or something that you want, if you're righteous in your heart and you do things for the right reason, no matter how many times people kick you down. Just keep getting up, because one of those times you're going to get up and you're going to stay up.
Oh, wow. That you couldn't have said that any better, Tony, because I've been kicked down a lot in my life. And, you know, like I said, when we meet, we'll have more time to talk privately. And I think some of the things that I'm going to open up to you and tell you, you're going to be like, wow, how did you even deal with that? You know, because I'm really going to open up to you, Tony. So.
Well, I can't wait to meet you, my brother. Soon.
2013. We'll say 2013 is what we'll say. We won't say any date, any month. We'll say 2013.
Let's try. 2014 will be in January. I'm going to do my best to do it before New Year's, but if not, the very beginning of 2014.
How wonderful would that be?
It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And
you got to tell your family that I love them and they're stuck with me.
You got it.
I'm not a stalker, Tony, but you're stuck with me now.
Now you realize that, right?
It's all good.
I listen, you get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hit the hay because I got to be up mighty early tomorrow. But I enjoyed the show so much, and I enjoyed seeing you. Because now I get to see you and talk to you. So until next time, my friend, remember, never quit, never give up.
Never give up.
I'll be seeing you soon.
Absolutely, Tony, and I'm going to text you here in just a few minutes, and you'll have that address.
You got it, my brother. God bless.
God bless, Tony, and if you need anything, you just dial me up.
You got it. Take care, my friend.
Take care, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Get over here!
And thank you for listening to this edition of J-Ray Radio. You heard it first on Corson's Corner, and you heard the big announcement from Tony Luke Jr. that he's going to make it his goal to eventually knock on my door. And that is actually physically possible now, because Tony Luke Jr. has my address, and I will keep you up to date when that happens. Not if, but when that happens. And I wanted to tell everybody before I wrap up the show to follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Justin Ray Harvey. And this edition of J-Ray on Carson's Corner, on J-Ray Radio, excuse me, on Carson's Corner, is a done deal. So, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect. Thank you for listening tonight, and I'll see you again soon.